Hey, and welcome to episode 52 of the Happy Hippie Podcast. I'm very excited to have you here. I'm very excited for today's episode. If you are new here, my name is Amanda. I am the host of the show. We talk about everything mind, body, soul, holistically, and we're basically talking about different ways that you can explore adding happiness into your life, whether that be through nutrition, fitness, discovering new passions, learning mindset tips, all that good stuff. You're in the right place. And you can follow me over on Instagram under Happy Holistic Hippie. If you have any questions, comments, episode ideas, let me know. That's where you can find me. And that's where I answer in like 2 business days sometimes because I have ADHD and I can't check my phone without going into a different app and forgetting to answer the message that I actually opened the app to answer in the first place. But that's for another day. Let's get into today's episode, which I said is about nutrition. So I am a personal trainer and a nutrition coach through NASAM. I've also done the Girls Gone Strong women's training, yoga teacher. I lived on like a holistic farm. I've had a lot of experience in the nutrition industry, period. And I truly believe that what I'm going to talk about in today's episode is going to help you out a lot. Just kind of find footing, understanding, grounding. I believe that these 7 different pillars that I'm going to talk about are truly fundamental to building a healthy, sustainable relationship with food. And as you know, like in today's world, we're constantly bombarded with nutrition advice from every direction. When you're scrolling on social media, I was going to say magazines, but like, do y'all read magazines anymore? But you get the point. Friends, family, you hear people talk different things. I tried this and this worked, or oh my gosh, we should be focusing on this. And then it kind of throws you into a frenzy and you don't know like what to focus on. It could be kind of overwhelming to figure out what truly matters. So that's why I wanted to create this episode. Instead of basically getting lost in the endless sea of diet trends or restrictive eating plans, I want to break down 7 core principles that can serve as your foundation for a lifetime of healthy eating. That's what this is more focused on, how you can make it sustainable, you know? So no crash diets, no unsustainable rules, just practical science-backed pillars that you can adapt into your lifestyle, because that's another really important thing, making it work for you. And what I love about these pillars is that they focus on nourishing your body rather than restricting it, which is like my biggest thing. Anytime I ever talk about nutrition, it comes from that lens. And we're going to talk about everything from understanding your macronutrients, the importance of protein, especially during stressful times, or if you're a woman, and maintaining gut health, a healthy gut microbiome, understanding what that even means. Like if you've ever heard about that online and you're like, girl, I don't understand. We're going to talk about how to actually stay properly hydrated, which is more than just drinking water. And lastly, I'd say understanding flexibility and adaptability in nutrition. And that isn't just helpful, it's very essential because our bodies, our lives are constantly changing from seasons of high stress. We may get pregnant, to intense periods of training if you're training for a marathon or something. And our nutrition needs need to evolve with us because we're evolving beings. And rigid nutrition rules, they often lead to just general frustration and then burnout. So having a flexible approach allows us to maintain a healthy relationship with food for life. And that's really what I want to preach about in today's show. So if you've ever felt frustrated with conflicting nutrition advice, or in the past have maybe struggled with restrictive eating patterns, this is the episode for you. And maybe send it over to a friend or a family member if this is something that resonates or you think would be an important topic. We're going to break down these pillars in a way that makes nutrition feel much more approachable and honestly more enjoyable. Because again, food should be something that brings joy to your life and not stress. So let's dive into these 7 pillars that can basically transform your whole opinion on nutrition. At least I hope. So to start things off, we're going to talk about our first pillar, which is providing your body with adequate macronutrients. And I would say this is absolutely fundamental, especially from like a science point of view. And yet sometimes many of us, I'd say especially women, struggle with this due to years of like diet culture messaging. You know, it's ingrained in us. We're conditioned to believe that eating less is somehow better. But the truth is that your body needs fuel. You know, you have to think of your body as like a complex machine. It does take a lot of fuel subconsciously for your body to just like blink and perform thinking brain operations. But past that, hormone production requires tons of fuel. We need fuel from the different macronutrient groups, and your hormones are actually behind a lot more than you think they are. We'll get back to that in a second. But if you're an active person in any way, you need to be intaking calories for muscle maintenance and overall vitality. But circling back to your hormones, estrogen, progesterone, and the thyroid hormones all need sufficient calories and specific macronutrients, especially like fat, to be produced correctly and also to function properly. And if we consistently undereat, we actually risk disrupting this whole delicate balance of hormones, which can, yes, it can lead to issues with like menstruation in that area, but it can actually impact our everyday mood, our energy levels, and even our bone health, which is very important for as women to like eat and perform resistance training, anything that's going to put a bit of pressure on our muscles and bones to help us out in the future, because women are prone to having like, you know, like osteoporosis and all of that with the bones. But I can yap about that another time. All you need to know about bone health is that we need to be eating all of our micronutrient group. This whole episode, I say macro and micro so many times, and I've practiced talking about what I want to say on the episode that I'm getting tongue-tied every time I bring it up. But I'm trying to say macro. We need macronutrients and we need resistance training to keep our bones like in tip-top shape. But let's go back to the idea of how do we ensure that we're eating enough? So I tried to think of some practical strategies to talk about this, because I don't want to cover the topic of calorie deficits and like bulking and all of that stuff. I just want to talk about making sure that we're eating a proper amount of food on our plates every day, and we're getting bits and pieces of each food group, because that's what's actually really important. Your entire life, you can't be doing, you can try, you won't have a fun time, and mentally it really does tear you down if you try to constantly stay in like a calorie deficit or try to constantly track your macros. It's just not sustainable. So I want to share ways that you can take this information of knowing, hey, I need to be eating a variety of foods and a variety of food groups, and how you can take that into your daily life and learn how to plan your meals around that, how to properly think about, okay, so this is what I have going on today. Realistically, like, these are how I'm going to make my meals. This is how I'm going to try and get some protein in. This is how I'm going to try and get my carbs in. I'm going to get fat in by doing this or prepping this ahead of time, because that's what's realistic. I could sit here and talk about, like I said, deficits and calorie like surplus and all of that, but I realistically don't think that it's something that's totally sustainable. You can do it, I'm not against it, but again, I'm preaching from the point of view of like, you're a person that's going to go through your entire lifespan, and I want you to take these tools and have them in a toolbox so that you can use them at any time, basically. So almost doing like a little audit of your meals and like what you're eating, start by adding volume to like existing meals. If you think that you're not eating enough, or you think that you're not eating enough in terms of, maybe I'm not getting a lot of fat sources in my day, or maybe I'm actually not getting a lot of protein, I struggle with getting protein in, look at what you have and see how you can add on. That's always what I like to do, even with habits, you know, look at what you're doing and don't focus on what you can rip away from your life, but what you can add in like layers, you know. So looking at your existing meal, like a meal example, think about maybe adding an extra serving of protein, or you can add in a handful of like complex carbs, or just like throw a handful of nuts in with your meal to help you add some fats, you know. Another important thing that I learned this in the Girls Gone Strong training, and I think it's really important, is listening to your hunger cues throughout the day. So hunger cues, it's not just that your stomach is growling. It's if maybe midday you get a slump and your energy is a little lower, or you have difficulty concentrating, or maybe your mood tends to change at a certain point of day. It could be in the morning after you wake up and skip breakfast, or it can be like after lunch when you just drink a quick little like protein shake. Just start to be aware of how your body performs throughout the day and how you feel throughout the day, because that can be an indicator that maybe you're not getting enough of a certain food group in during your day, or your meal timing might be off a little bit. And this is all, again, looking at yourself and just reflecting. And then my next tip would be to actually consider the activity level that you have. If you are regularly exercising, or if you have an active job, like if you have a job where you're on your feet, your caloric needs are just going to be a little bit higher than somebody who is a bit more sedentary. So trying to focus on just going through your life, going through your factors and noticing where you stand can really help you intuitively work with your macronutrients. Last tip in this section would be that nutrient-dense foods tend to provide more sustained energy than a quick fix. So if you have the time or access to just eat a whole food item, something that's like a natural fruit, vegetable, protein source combination of that, rather than like a man-made item, might help you fulfill your macronutrient needs better. And I think those four tips really do help you in terms of just getting better at the intuitive thing. So like I said, like tracking calories can be helpful in specific situations, like if you have an athletic goal or if you're curious and you just kind of want to like audit yourself and see where you are. But again, I believe in like developing a more intuitive approach to eating. And this means learning to recognize those hunger cues and when you're full, understanding maybe how different foods make you feel, like taking note after you eat if you feel full or if you're kind of like feeling snacky afterwards. And again, adjusting your intake based on your activity level and your energy needs. Another thing that's cool, I talked about this in a total different episode, but your meal timing. So if you have a long gap between your meals and a workout, so let's say you have your lunch break at 12 and then you're going to hit the gym at 6. Choosing foods that break down more slowly, so having like the two foods that break down the slowest are fats and fibers, they can help you maintain a steady energy level. So if you know that you're going to work out after work and you're not going to have a lot of time to snack in between, eating like a more calorically dense meal at lunchtime or something with more fats and fiber can help your body slowly burn that energy throughout the afternoon so that you still have some energy before you go and work out. And then vice versa. I talk about this in the nutrient timing episode, but I'll link that in the description below. So again, if let's say you have a workout in 1 hour, you're going to go directly after work and you just need like a quick hit, something like carbohydrates can help break down a lot quicker, depending on the type of carbohydrates. But again, I have a nutrient timing episode, so I'll link it, but you can also just go to the podcast page wherever you are and just search the word nutrient timing and it should come up. I believe it was like last year I dropped that episode, but it's a really good episode. It's like actually one of my favorites when it comes to nutrition. Now let's explore our second pillar. This is all about the crucial role of protein, which I'm very happy to be putting this into an episode. I get a lot of questions about protein, and I really want to talk about not only a little bit about it, but how it's very important during times of stress, which is why like exercise is a form of stress, and that's why protein is associated with exercise, because when your body and your muscles are under stress, they have these like micro tears in them, and then protein is the building block that helps rebuild the muscle. But even on a level of like mental stress and stress under your body, protein helps you rebuild. So it's actually really fascinating where this area of like nutrition and like stress management kind of like intersect. So like I said, when we're under stress, our bodies undergo significant like psychological change and physiological change as well, and our body needs more protein. Like it kind of moves the needle from wherever your protein needs are, it will need a little bit more. And if you're a little bit more of a visual learner, this is like an example of what I said, but it goes a little deeper. If you imagine your body is kind of like a building that's under renovation, and stress is like the constant construction project that's happening, it's going to be breaking down the tissues faster than usual. So since there's construction happening on the building, your body is breaking down a little bit quicker because you got a big crew all around doing the work. So protein provides the essential amino acids that's needed to rebuild these tissues and reconstruct this building. And without adequate protein, the reconstruction process slows down. And what that actually does is it leads to increased inflammation. I did a whole episode on inflammation 2 episodes ago, and it turns into poor recovery. Your body will take longer. It'll start moving slower, and you won't recover as quickly from your workouts. You won't recover as quickly from really stressful situations or long days at work even, you know? And it can even lead to compromised immune function. So protein is very important on so many levels. And there's a lot of research between protein and stress, which I wrote down some like tips here. So during periods of stress, your cortisol levels rise, which can actually, when your cortisol levels are a little bit higher than usual, it can cause the body to need 20% more protein than usual. It's going to need 20% more protein to break down everything the way it does. So that's actually a decent amount. When you're in a super stressed state, you may need more protein. Research also indicates that consuming 25 to 30 grams of protein is the recommended amount to help with muscle protein synthesis, which again is a fancy word for your muscles tearing and then using protein to help rebuild them. So 25 to 30 grams of protein per meal, which roughly is in the most examples, it's like 3 meals a day, is the estimate we should be trying to get when we're adding protein to a meal, looking for around 25 grams of protein per meal to 30 grams of protein per meal. And to make this a little, like, more actionable, because like you can hear that tip and be like, okay, like, how am I going to do that? Or I don't want to have a protein shake every meal. I wrote down some ideas, and these are ideas that I like to give clients when I do personal training. Some breakfast ideas, some light lunch and dinner strategies, and some snacking ideas. So again, these are just ideas to help you kind of get the brain going, but try to think about how you can take this information and turn it into something that you like. Like, I'm a super picky eater, so sometimes when I hear tips like this, like, I have to think about how I can actually turn that into something I'm going to eat. So I suggest that is a cool way to go about it as well. If you are a yogurt fan, you can easily up the protein in a lot of things by adding Greek yogurt. So even just adding Greek yogurt to like a morning smoothie can add in 17 grams of protein to that. You can make your dip packets. If you use any sort of like dip, you can add the powdered dip flavoring in the Greek yogurt, and then you can have crackers or like veggies or whatever you like to use your dip for, and have like a high protein version. Greek yogurt is so good. There's so many different recipes you can look up online to help create different versions of things. Like, you can make different like edible cookie dough you can use with Greek yogurt. You can make Greek yogurt bagels and have a increased protein content in those bagels because of it. So it is really good. You can make overnight oats, and you can use Greek yogurt, or you can use protein powder and chia seeds. And chia seeds do have a little bit of protein combined with the protein powder that can help bring up the protein content of that. You can add egg whites to your omelets. And even adding cheese can help bring up the protein bit a little bit. And again, I'm not trying to tell you to like bulk up every meal, but these are just examples if you're struggling or trying to get a little creative with adding protein. For lunch or dinner, a good thing to do is to start with the protein source that you want to have and build a meal around it. So going through your days or in the morning, think about, okay, for lunch or dinner, like, how am I going to get protein in? And then start to think about, okay, well, then I could add this on the side or this. I am not a fan, but canned tuna is a good source of protein. So canned tuna or like canned chicken can also be a way that you can add protein to a lot of things. I have not tried that myself, but I have given that out to other people. So do with that what you will. And even like lentils and quinoa can be added into salads and bowls to up protein count. Another way I like to add protein, if you're on the dairy train, cottage cheese is really good. I actually, like, fun fact, I keep talking about like Greek yogurt and cottage cheese. I do keep my dairy intake a little bit lower because sometimes I find it does break me out, but I do have it every now and then. And cottage cheese is something that is so cool. You can add it to things. I like to blend it because it grosses me out, frankly. But I made tomato soup, so I roasted a sheet pan of vegetables, and then I took those vegetables, put them with some veggie broth in a big pot, right? And then you add in, instead of cream, you use cottage cheese, and then you blend it all up. Because you're blending up the vegetables anyway, and you're going to blend up the cream anyway, but you replace the cream with cottage cheese, and it literally adds, like, so much protein to the soup. And then you're just eating like this protein jack tomato soup, and it tastes the same because you're using like a milk product to give it that creaminess, but you have so much protein. So that was life-changing. I've been doing that a lot. And then you get to eat tomato soup. I love, because it's an excuse to eat bread. Like, I just dip sourdough into it. It's great. Try it out. And again, make it work for you. If you're somebody who you find it's easier to have little bits of protein throughout your day, you can lean on snacks or different ways, like rolling up turkey as like a snack, or having like protein bars or whatever. Even like the fruit and cottage cheese mix, like having little tidbits of protein packed snacks throughout the day. Or maybe your lifestyle is something that would work better with you having a big protein packed breakfast, lunch, dinner, you know, working with your life, taking the advice that I'm giving and seeing how you can distribute it into your lifestyle. And if you are a plant-based listener, don't worry, you can get your protein needs through vegetarian and vegan sources. Trust me on this one, okay? I'm a really picky eater. I don't know if I ever shared this fact on the show. I really don't know if I have. I only eat chicken as a meat source. I don't eat any other meat, and I haven't had meat since I was like 3, like red meat. I don't eat beef products at all. You know what? At the moment, I'm taking beef liver capsules to help me because I don't eat beef. I literally am like iron deficient because I don't eat meat. And that's a weird thing that I've just been doing since I've been a 3-year-old child, and I gained consciousness and I found out like what beef products were made out of. But I used to eat beef until I was 3. My mom would give it to me, and then I found out in preschool, and I don't have beef. I don't know what a hamburger tastes like. I just don't eat it. So I know what it's like on top of that, being a picky eater. So I'm like a vegetarian, No, I'm not, because I eat chicken. Like, I don't know what to say to people. Sorry, I'm starting to ramble a little bit, but, like, I am, like, a pescatarian who eats poultry. So I eat fish and poultry, and that's, like, it. And dairy. So, like, I don't have red meat, though. I don't eat, like, pork products, and I don't eat beef. I will have bacon every now and then, though, because I'm like sane and bacon tastes good, but you get what I mean. I'm like picky from that sense. And then when I lived in Hawaii, I did live on a vegan facility where I literally could only eat vegan food. So I have had my fair share of vegetarian time periods. I've had periods where I've cut out chicken entirely. And then I've had periods where I've been a vegan. So not by choice, but by where I was living. So I have found ways to actually make sure that you get complete protein. So plant-based protein isn't considered a quote-unquote full protein because it doesn't have all the amino acids, but the cool thing is you can actually combine them. You can combine different plant proteins to ensure that you're getting all of the essential amino acids. So foods like legumes and grain combinations, rice and beans, can help you get protein, which is really cool. That's why a lot of cultures actually eat rice and beans. Not only is it like good and filling, but it fills the body because it has all of the amino acids in it. Soy products like tempeh and edamame. Quinoa is also a legit complete protein source. So you can have quinoa and add that to different things and it will up your protein, but it's also a grain. So it's a win-win, you know? And there are plant-based protein powders made from pea, hemp, or rice protein. And I like Truvani. I think it tastes the best. It's not like super chalky. I do find sometimes like the vegetarian protein powders will have that like chalky kind of taste. Well, I meant vegan, my bad. But yeah, okay. Bottom line basically is when life gets stressful, your protein needs increase. So just be mindful of your protein intake and make it a priority, whether it's your snacks, your meals. You're basically giving your body tools to help handle stress more effectively, and it will help with your overall health, especially if you're active. So that is all I have to say on protein. Sorry, I give you a little bit of a life story there. I was like, yeah, guys, chicken. No. And the reason that I actually ate chicken is because when I was like 4, a chicken like chased me and I was like, you know what? I don't really feel bad eating you guys. After that, I was like, you know what? It's okay. I'm fine. Cows, you guys are off limits, but chickens, I have beef with you. So let's explore our third pillar and move on from that. So this is all about micronutrients. The role of micronutrients basically in our daily nutrition. So macronutrients often get like the spotlight, usually especially in the fitness community. You're just going to hear about the big three, right? But these smaller, you want to call them mighty nutrients, are absolutely crucial for like every function in our body. We need micronutrients to do everything from energy production to stress management. You know, they're very important. So you can think of like micronutrients as like a behind the scenes crew that kind of keeps your body's show running smoothly, like the crew in SNL, you know? So during times of stress, your body actually uses up nutrients a lot faster, which is a theme if you're seeing with protein as well. Like, it needs more protein. When you're under stress, your body is going to use all the micronutrients up a lot faster. So it's important to ensure an adequate intake of these. I'm going to talk about a few of them, and then I'm going to talk about ways that you can implement them through natural foods and supplements that might be important as well. So the first one is magnesium, and it's often called the relaxation mineral, which is why it's also promoted at nighttime. A lot of people take it before bed for that reason, because it helps with stress response, sleep, and muscle recovery. There's different types. Well, magnesium is one type, but there's different like little branches in magnesium. And I believe I also did an episode talking about magnesium or sleep. I have an episode and I'm going to find it. I'm going to link it below. So if you really want a big deep dive on magnesium, check that out. Next up are B complex vitamins. So like B12, B6, all of those. B vitamins are essential for energy production and nervous system function, and they are rapidly depleted during stressful times. Another thing with the B vitamins, same kind of situation with the iron. If you don't consume a lot of animal products, like animal-based products, whether that's dairy or like meat, you can be low in some B vitamins. That's why they're promoted for energy, and you can have lower energy for not eating. I had a whole issue where I was like low iron and low on B vitamins. So it did affect, based on my intake of my macronutrients, my micronutrients were being affected because I wasn't eating a wide variety of protein and dairy sources at certain times in my life. Moving on, the next thing is zinc. Zinc is really good for immune function and helps with protein synthesis. You'll see zinc in a lot of cold remedies or wellness supplements that promote immune function, they put zinc in it all the time. And another one is vitamin D, which is also good for your immune function. It's good for your mood and for your bone health. So those are like four crucial micronutrients, but there's tons, okay? Those are just like the big ones that people can have deficiencies in that are very common, especially in Western culture. And again, also due to different types of diets. So these are ways that you can help boost the micronutrient intake that you have in your life through food. Dark leafy greens like spinach, kale, Swiss chard, they're great for iron, magnesium, and they all have different vitamins in it, which is why it is important to kind of mix around the greens that you take in, because they will help you get diverse nutrients. That's also the same concept as like adding colorful vegetables to a meal, aiming to like quote unquote like eat the rainbow, because you're getting different nutrients in. And I find it fun to try it out and try to get a different vegetable or so each week. Or if you like a staple vegetable, get it and then get like a second one that you don't usually have or that you like to switch in and out, because this way you're getting a diverse like group of vitamins, minerals, and we'll talk about gut health in a little bit. You also do get diversity in your microbiome when you eat different foods instead of just eating the same things all the time. Another cool way to add the trace minerals in, like magnesium and things like that, are anything that grows in the sea. So like sea vegetables, which would be like seaweed or anything like nori and dulse or things like that. You can add that in too. That's just like a fun way of getting it through natural foods. And then increasing your consumption of organ meats. Hear me out. Or like sardines once a week have very concentrated nutrient sources in it. So they have a lot of micronutrients. That's why I actually take the beef liver supplement, because like I said, I don't eat beef products and I don't eat organ meats. So I just like take the pill supplement and pretend it's not beef. But it's been helping me tremendously, and it actually helped me with my skin, because the reason being was I wasn't getting a lot of those micronutrients in. So finding ways to add in new vegetables and diversifying my food, as well as taking that supplement, really did help me personally, because I was deficient in a few different things in that area. Okay, sticking with the idea of supplements, here are some supplementation strategies that can help you get your micronutrients in. If you have a high quality multivitamin, there will be micronutrients in them. So if you're thinking back and kind of going through what you go through every day, and you're saying, oh, maybe I don't know if I'm getting enough magnesium or this and that, truly just taking a multivitamin can help with that as like a foundation for your micronutrients. Another thing is using trace mineral drops in your water to remineralize your water and add in magnesium and potassium and all of those back into your water. There's a brand, Trace Minerals, that you can get. It's like a little blue, I forget the total name of the company, but it's a little blue bottle. You can get it at like Whole Foods or most like health food stores. I use Zuma. I think they're really good. I have the Trace Minerals and Fulvic Acid drops, and I take it in the morning. And I really do think that getting minerals in has helped me a lot. And it's not just me saying it, but my skin cleared up ridiculously. When I want to do a whole episode on my skin, because I had acne prone skin. I have acne prone skin, but I had really bad breakouts all along my jaw for like 15 years. I couldn't get rid of them. And honestly, it was like dietary related. When I started taking more minerals into my diet, balancing my blood sugar and working with my gut health, those were the three things that really fixed my skin out of everything. Out of like doing facials, doing peels, like taking in different foods, I was limiting dairy, I was taking eggs out, I was doing all the stuff. At the end of the day, for me, my main issues, like I want to do an episode on it, but to cut to the point, I wasn't getting enough minerals in, and my blood sugar balance was off a little bit, and my gut health issues. And I don't have like any big crazy problems. I consider my digestion to be pretty regular. I consider everything to be like okay, but at the same time, all three of those things were off a little bit. And yeah, I fixed them with food and my skin cleared up completely. Another cool way to get more minerals in is trying an adrenal cocktail. So an adrenal cocktail, a recipe for example, could be taking orange juice or cherry juice and then adding coconut water and a half a teaspoon of sea salt, which has sodium and trace minerals in it. You can also use cream of tartar, which you can get in the baking section. You could put that in to add potassium. So you're getting vitamin C from the orange juice, you're getting potassium from the coconut water, or again, you can use cream of tartar instead of coconut water. and then you add salt for sodium and trace minerals, and you have an adrenal cocktail. Because like I said earlier, when you're under stress, your body depletes minerals, and vitamin C is used up by your adrenals like real quick. So having vitamin C, having potassium and sodium helps to remineralize the body, but it also helps when your body is super depleted and tired from stress. This can give you an energy boost that's kind of like caffeine. I actually don't, like I told you in a past podcast, when I do reach for caffeine, I usually drink matcha or I drink yerba mate, but I haven't had either of those in maybe like 2 months, but I've been having adrenal cocktails in the afternoon. I have a pre-packaged version too. Live Healthily has a brand, and it's called Minerals and Chill, and you can get like a pre-packaged quote-unquote adrenal cocktail. So I actually drink those at work, but you can make your own again by using a juice, either orange juice, something with a high vitamin C content, but like orange juice is an example, and then adding in potassium and a sodium source, and that can really help you with your energy levels. So that's a really great way if you're looking for something that's not an actual supplement to make. And then mineral rich waters like Pellegrino or Mountain Valley, anything that has the mineral content in it is also useful to get those minerals in during your day. And disclaimer, as always, supplements can be helpful, but they should never totally replace a nutrient-rich diet. It's not like an excuse to like not change anything and just take supplements. So focus first on getting nutrients through whole foods, and then use supplementation to kind of help fill like any gaps, you know? As usual, I'm not a healthcare provider, so if you start a new supplement regimen, you can always ask a healthcare provider more questions on that for you. I'm just sharing, again, my own advice, my own opinions, and things that I have learned through my nutrition certifications. But I'm not a doctor, so I just want to put that one out there. But off the record, I have gone to doctors, and like literally I was like, hey, I'm breaking out, and for 15 years they couldn't tell me, hey girl, maybe you should just increase your minerals and like focus on your gut health. Nobody told me that. Instead, they tried to put me on like tons of birth control and like Accutane and all these creams that like burn my skin off for like years. So consult your doctor anyway, but natural foods and things like that can really help you out, and that's a big part of the reason that I do this show and have the channel and page I do, is to share like natural healing ways to make you happier and make you healthier. I'd say my last note on the micronutrient section would be looking for foods that have a lot of nutrient density to optimize your time, basically, and optimize what you're eating, because choosing foods that have a lot of nutrient density pack a big punch, like a big nutritional punch per serving. So some examples of like nutrient dense foods that have a lot of micronutrients. Berries have tons of antioxidants and vitamins in it, so even adding a handful of like frozen berries to a smoothie can really up your micronutrients. Pumpkin seeds, a lot of seeds and nuts actually, but pumpkin seeds have a lot of zinc and magnesium if you're looking for a natural way to add those into your diet. And Brazil nuts have a lot of selenium. Literally having 1 to 2 Brazil nuts a day is a complete serving of that. And having fermented foods like sauerkraut or different like pickled onions can actually enhance nutrient absorption. So eating fermented foods helps your belly digest these nutrients a lot better and send them to the bloodstream. I think the last thing to say always is like stress, poor sleep, and even certain medications actually can increase your body's needs for specific nutrients. So during these like demanding periods, you might need to pay more attention to your micronutrient intake. Same thing as always, it's depending on what your body is going through. If you're more stressed out, you may need more. So just be mindful. That's like a big takeaway in this episode, is like being mindful of your body. Being mindful of your body like after you eat meals, noticing how you feel when you wake up in the morning, how you feel in the midday. And then stepping back and thinking about, oh, did I eat a little bit of this today? Did I not have any of this? Or, oh, maybe I should hydrate more. That type of thing. That's kind of what I want to get across. So we have like 2 more pillars in nutrition, and then the last 2 pillars are more tips than they are actual nutrition areas. Our 4th pillar is something that I kind of touched on in the last one, but it's maintaining a microbiome balance, so gut health. So your gut is a house to bacteria in a way. It's like your gut is a microbiome of its own. It has trillions of microorganisms, And they really do play a big role in your overall health. It's like a very delicate ecosystem. And when it becomes unbalanced, when things get a little off between the types of bacteria in there, it can actually affect a lot of things from your immune system to your mental health. That's why people talk about gut health a lot. But at the end of the day, it's just a little bit of bacteria that lives in your belly that takes up residency. And you want to fuel it with good food and you want to help it out so that they can help you out in a way. So let's understand like the key players in gut health. The first type of bacteria we have are probiotics, and you've heard this before. So these are the beneficial bacteria. So they're little live bacteria that support your gut health. You can think of them as like good citizens in your little like belly, your little gut city. And then the other one you've probably heard of are prebiotics. So these are actually plant fibers. Prebiotics come from plants. And they feed your good bacteria. So they're essentially like the food that the bacteria eats and uses to thrive and live. So probiotics are the bacteria and prebiotics are the food the bacteria eats. So let's talk a little bit about the natural sources of both of these things so we can understand it a lot better. So probiotics, you can get them from fermented foods. So fermented vegetables like sauerkraut, kimchi, pickled onions, pickled carrots, pickled beets, anything that has a fermentation in it. Yogurt and kefir, anything that says live active cultures on it, like in the tiny print, is something that contains probiotics. Kombucha, Miss Booch, she is a fermented tea. So that's also a fermented product. It's going to have that beneficial bacteria. Sourdough, it's made with like a wild yeast, which makes it, bacteria grows and then it becomes, again, something that has probiotics in it. Fun fact, miso soup, miso, has probiotics in it, and tempeh, because tempeh is a fermented version of tofu. Well, not tofu, but like soybeans. So anything that's been through the fermentation process will have probiotics, because if you really want to think about it in a gross way, it's food that's kind of been like set out for a while, and now bacteria is growing on it, and then you eat that bacteria. That's basically what fermentation is in a weird way. And moving back on to prebiotics, some sources of prebiotics, again, they're going to be plant-based sources because it's a fiber that comes from plants. Garlic, onions, and leeks all have prebiotics in it. Jerusalem artichokes, which is basically the main type of artichoke that you can buy, has prebiotics in it. And fun fact, you know, like poppy and olipop, they use inulin. And inulin is the specific prebiotic that is in artichokes in their drinks. So that's why all those prebiotic sodas you see, they literally just have like artichoke in them. And that's what makes them a prebiotic. They have botanical plant fibers coming from either that or marshmallow root sometimes also has prebiotics in it. Another thing that has it is plantains, like green bananas or plantains. They have prebiotics in it. Asparagus, dandelion greens, chicory root. There's a ton of them, but those are the first few I can think of off the top of my head, but they do come from plants. It's a certain type of fiber you can find in plants. I find coconut yogurt to be something so cool and fascinating. The Coconut Cult brand, if you've heard of them, or I think they went viral for a little bit, but in general, any coconut yogurt, even the brand like Coco June. So coconut yogurt is a fermented product, right? So it has the probiotics in it from the fermentation process, but it's from a plant fiber. It's from coconuts. So the coconuts themselves have prebiotics in it, which means that the probiotics in the coconut yogurt are like eating the prebiotics that are in the coconut. And it's kind of like a self-sustaining cycle. So I do think coconut yogurt is so good to try, especially for your gut health, like because it has both in it. It's like a great product because it's truly alive, the bacteria, and it's like eating the fiber constantly because it's all in one source. Really interesting how that works. Okay, moving on from coconut, because again, I will nerd out on that for like 10 minutes. These are some practical strategies that we can use to maintain a healthy microbiome. So taking this advice about pro and prebiotics and using it in real life, starting your day with fermented foods is a really great way to set your biome up for success. So even adding like a spoonful of like sauerkraut to your breakfast can really help, or any sort of pickled vegetables. I love pickled carrots. That's like my thing because they taste like salt and vinegar chips. I literally make a big batch of pickled carrots and I change them around. So sometimes I'll use like carrot chips, other times I'll use carrot sticks. little ones. I'll switch up the texture of it so it stays kind of fun for me, but I do eat pickled carrots in the morning. You can put pickled onions on your breakfast, on your burrito, on like avocado toast, your eggs, whatever. Adding some sort of fermented food in the morning is a really great way to kind of kickstart the whole system for the day and feed all those good guys down there. You can also try rotating different fermented foods throughout the week to expose yourself to different strains of bacteria. Because like I was saying earlier, the body likes different things. It likes to have different leafy vegetables, different rainbow colored foods, different bacteria strains. It likes it all. So mixing it up is also very good. In general, including fiber-rich foods at every meal is going to be very beneficial to your bacteria because it eats fiber. Your belly loves fiber because all the little people living in your belly, they like to eat fiber as their main source. So adding fiber-rich foods to any meal is going to be something that really helps you out in that sense. The cool thing is you can make this very budget-friendly, very cost-effective because you can make your own fermented vegetables at home. I literally stock up on apple cider vinegar, white wine vinegar, and white rice vinegar. And I have like 3 bottles that I've had forever. They are ancient. And I just pickle vegetables each week in them. And I have it to continue with me like forever, basically. So it's very cost effective to pickle your own things at home. And you can even make your own coconut yogurt and things like that. But I don't have the recipe. You're gonna have to look that one up. And like I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of benefits to maintaining a very healthy microbiome. Your immune function, about 70% of your immune system resides in your gut, which means all those bacteria in your gut, they do play a role in protecting you against sicknesses. So when you feed your gut health, when you feed the bacteria in your gut and increase your gut health, you're therefore increasing your immune system function. And your mood and mental clarity is also affected by the gut-brain axis. You know, I actually did a really great episode with one of my friends on the show. She's a hypnotherapist that actually deals with the whole gut-brain axis and how your gut health affects your mental health. And I believe I interviewed her very early on in the show. Again, I'll put this one below for you to check out. But if you're interested at all in the correlation between your mental health and your gut health, definitely listen to that episode. But the last 2 really important benefits that I can think of about your gut health is the fact that when you have better gut health, you're better able to break down your food. You're better able to like get more nutrients from the food, because if your gut health is a little off, you're not properly absorbing all the nutrients from your food because your body's like going through so much down there that that's the last thing on its mind. But when you're taking care of your gut, it's able to break down and you have a better retention and absorption of the foods you're eating. So you're getting like a higher quality item by just kind of fixing what's going on in your belly. And it helps reduce inflammation in the body when you take care of your gut health. So those are really good tips and reasons to work on this area. I do understand this is a gradual process, but focusing on consistency over perfection is something that stands in all these categories, giving your body time to adjust to new foods, new habits. But the cool thing is your gut bacteria population can actually begin to shift within days of dietary changes, and it establishes a whole new microbiome, which can help you out like throughout your entire life. So in just a few days, you can actually notice a lot of differences from taking care of your gut health. Our 5th pillar, which is our last like nutrition-based pillar, is all about efficient hydration, because we all know that water is essential. But the quality and the mineral content of our hydration choices can actually make a really big difference in how our body handles stress and maintains like optimal function. So remember the 3rd pillar that we discussed, minerals. Well, this kind of connects directly to hydration. When we're stressed, we don't just lose water, we lose crucial minerals. And drinking plain filtered water alone isn't always enough to replenish like what we've lost. So electrolytes, which are the 3 minerals that we were talking about before, sodium, potassium, and actually I don't think I mentioned it, but chloride, those are the ones that are the most important in our bodies to help us with our electrolyte balance. They're crucial for proper hydration because they help regulate the fluid balance in your individual cells, and they help support proper nerve and muscle function, which is very important if you're an active person, but it's also important if you're human as well. It helps maintain stable blood pressure, and it also assists in like energy production and recovery processes. So that's why they're definitely very important, and that's also why you see them pushed a lot in the fitness industry. But the cool thing is there are a lot of fun ways to kind of sneak them into your everyday beverages, and also some like DIY things you can do. So again, having a mineral-rich water, whether you're using drops or an electrolyte drink through a packet, is a great way to start your day, or have it early in the daytime so you can kind of keep your hydration levels high. Mineral-rich spring waters. There's one brand I wanted to say because I do drink it. I can't pronounce it. It begins with a G. Any of those like fancy brands. Pellegrino, Mountain Valley is the other one I go for. Mineralized water does have some of these electrolytes in it and can help you out. An easy way you can do it as well is add a pinch of high quality sea salt. Celtic sea salt's also really good. Add that to your water throughout your day. You won't notice it, honestly. Like a very subtle pinch of it into a big glass of water can help hydrate you. You can also use coconut water as a natural electrolyte source, which she's my girl. I love coconut water. I hated coconut water when I was a teenager. Really funny. I couldn't do it. But now I like adore it so much. There's other DIY hydrations, like solutions that you can make as well, like a little concoction, very similar to some of the adrenal cocktails I said before, but mixing citrus juice in general, whether it's like a lemonade combination, orange juice, grapefruit juice with filtered water, and again, a pinch of sea salt can help hydrate you. Coconut water, mint, and lime. Girl, it's like a fake mojito. It's so good. I love having that drink all the time. That's one of my favorites. But coconut water, like mocktails, are really fun to make. They keep you hydrated and they taste good. Herbal teas. There's some herbal teas. So nettle has a high balance of minerals because it's like a natural mineral-rich herb. Nettle tea can help keep you hydrated. Same with alfalfa tea. But I tend to pick nettle. Nettle's also really good on your period. It helps with cramps. So stock up on some nettle tea bags. She's that girl. She has a lot of benefits, you know. You can make spa water as well, like infusing cucumber, and even just adding in mineral drops. Like, you can make it fun. Try to make some interesting water solutions, you know. When it comes to electrolytes, okay, I do have some brands I like, but I think what's more important than a specific brand is to look for products that contain sodium and chloride, because those are the two main electrolytes that are lost during sweat whenever we're doing active work. The next thing is that's important is potassium. That's the one that's very important for muscle function and the nervous system. Magnesium just supports hundreds of bodily processes. Like, it's like the king mineral. That's not fact. That's just me saying it because I like magnesium, but I think it's very important. Calcium is also good for your nerve function and muscles. Same thing with potassium. So you want to look out for those four things when you're looking for an electrolyte packet or like a branded drink. So if you're looking at a drink and it doesn't have high quality amount of those, I wouldn't say it's the best. Element is one of my favorite brands. I love their packets. They also have like a canned drink that's really good. They're a bit salty because they have high levels of sodium, but I think they're very good, honestly. And then Minerals and Chill is that like adrenal cocktail drink that I drink. From personal experience, I think it's very clean ingredients and really good, and I love it's a small business brand, so I would check that out if you're looking for a different brand to try. And it's not sponsored or anything. I just genuinely spend like all my money on different supplements and trying things out, and those are two of my favorites, so I really thoroughly recommend them. One thing that I learned from my aunt, who's like a nurse, is that the fact that you feel thirst means that you're already kind of slightly dehydrated. Like the thirst factor where you ping and kind of feel that in your body and your mouth means that you're like already a little bit dehydrated. Doesn't mean like you're thirsty. You're kind of falling into that dehydration area. So having a consistent hydration routine to not have to feel thirsty is really important. You could keep a water bottle by you and like sip it throughout your day, which is a very general fact, but it is true. You can also set reminders on your phone. Like if you haven't drank water, you can set like a reminder at 1 p.m. to make sure you drink some. You can also get water through food. So having hydrating foods like cucumbers, watermelon, celery, you can Google different types of food that have high water content can also keep you hydrated. And then lastly, I mean, it exists for a reason. It's weird, but monitoring your hydration status through your pee. Like if you have a light yellow pee, you're good. If it starts to get a little dark, then you know that you're kind of bordering on a state of getting a little dehydrated. So check in with yourself. Like it seems simple, but this can be a big factor also in why your energy is low, or if you're not getting really good sleep or your recovery is down. Hydration is very important. So check in with yourself. Again, check your pee. Notice if you're thirsty a lot during the day and actively try and just add more hydration to your day. Okay, so those were our five nutrition pillars, and the last two our strategy kind of pillars. So let me explain. Our sixth pillar is a little bit more about like mental processes. We're talking about adaptation. So I think one of the most overlooked aspects of nutrition is the fact that it has a very dynamic nature. I've been kind of hinting at that throughout this episode, that our nutritional needs like aren't static. They kind of evolve with us as we move through different phases of life and like varying circumstances. So think of your nutrition plan as like a living document, you know? It needs to be regularly reviewed or updated. And we can think about it through, I can give you a few different examples. So again, I said earlier in the episode too, especially as women, like we can go through pregnancy, we could be nursing, aging in general, like different activity levels. If we decide we're going to start to do CrossFit or try out hot yoga, like they require different nutritional approaches. Maybe you need to increase your hydration because now you're doing something more active and you used to have a desk job where you didn't work out as much, so now you need to change that up a little bit. Or maybe you are nursing and you need to take in more calories for that reason. Seasonal variations is another thing. So our body's needs change with the seasons. So in the summer, we need to be a little bit more hydrated because we're going to be sweating a lot more. We're active. We're just in hot climates, which is great because the fruit and vegetables and the produce in general that are in season in the summer are going to be more water rich. Like nature works with the cycles and you work with the cycles too. So you can have access to, I was saying it earlier, but like watermelon, cucumbers, things like that are going to be in season and you can become more hydrated through that. In the winter, our immune system needs more support. So focusing on your gut health, like I said, your gut health is connected to your immune system, can be something that you focus on in the winter time a lot more. Talking about in-season fruits, we have citrus in season in the winter and has a high amount of vitamin C, which can help with your immune system. So during the seasons, you can have different goals or focus on different things because your bodies are going to change as the seasons change. Fitness goals is another thing. Maybe you're going through a period of time where you want to build muscle. Maybe you want to maintain the weight you're at, or you want to focus on endurance. So finding nutrition that kind of aligns with those objectives. And it could even come down to different health statuses, you know, like medical conditions can come up, or you're on a medication for a certain period of time, or you're having a recovery. So you might need a different type of nutritional like modification. So you always want to make it adaptable to yourself because we're always changing. Some strategies to help you out if you feel like maybe you're navigating a different time of like high stress, demands, you're following an illness, you're coming, like that's a real common one too. Like if you get sick and you're coming back from being sick and you want to try to get back into your fitness routine, your nutrition can actually really help support you to get there. So these are some different strategies to help you if you feel that you're going through one of these time periods. Keeping a nutrition journal to help track how different foods affect you. So again, maybe you eat something at lunch that takes a long time to digest, or you're noticing that you don't feel as hydrated when you go about this regular routine you have. Just keeping a journal maybe to notice these things, you know? You can also have a regular check-in. So in the evening, you can check in with yourself and your energy levels and be like, wow, today I'm really beat. And you can look back during your day. You can look back on your day also, not just in the nutrition lens, but you can see like what stressors you're going under. A fun way to do something else is like planning a seasonal menu to help align your body with the available produce, like what's in season and what your body needs. So what I was just saying about like the immunity and about summer, you know, that I just think it's fun to make a seasonal menu and try a different variety of foods at different seasons, because it's like I was saying, nature does support you. And again, think about maybe creating like flexible meal prep or meal planning that can be adjusted based on your activity levels. So if you find that you're exercising a lot more but you still don't have a lot of time, you can pre-prep some like protein sources to make sure you have those to help support you. And something I do with like long-term clients is create a quarterly like nutrition check-in. So you can do this for yourself as well, where you basically assess your current energy levels and your recovery needs, recent changes that are happening in your life, in your lifestyle and activity, any upcoming goals or challenges that you might have. And then going back to number four, like seasonal food availability or preferences. Maybe you have a favorite fruit or vegetable that you want to try. So again, this is an approach to nutrition that I like that focuses on embracing change and adaptation to ensure that like your practices serve you efficiently through all of life's transitions and challenges, because we know they come and go. My last point of the episode, I did an entire episode on this, so I want to just cover it very lightly, but our final pillar, number seven, focuses on anti-inflammatory foods and lifestyle practices. So we did a deep dive on this topic two episodes ago, if you want to check it out. these are some takeaways that I talk about in the episode. But the cool thing that's also about the topic of inflammation is most of the tips that I gave you in the pillars throughout this episode are involved. So that's why we're going to skim over it, because a lot of the things were mentioned. Eating foods that are anti-inflammatory, which we'll break down, can basically reduce inflammation, hence the name. Inflammation in the body in general, which is caused by a few different things, but it can be caused by foods that inflame the gut lining and inflame different parts of you, lead in the long run to like chronic diseases like heart disease, diabetes, cancers, things like that. Not the good things. And anti-inflammatory foods are basically just foods that are rich in vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, and omega-3 fats. Fruits and vegetables are anti-inflammatory, especially leafy greens, things like blueberries that have a lot of antioxidants in it, fruits like apples, oranges. Oily fish like salmon contain omega-3, even like cod liver oil is like a super popular supplement for that reason. Nuts, because they have omega-3s in it. And fun fact, even like coffee. So these are just foods that have properties that are known to ease inflammation, which again, I dive deeper into it. I really don't want to take up too much time because we're coming to the end of the episode. But for comparison, things that cause high inflammation in the body are excess red meat, like a lot of it, not just like the average amount. Processed meats like bacon, hot dogs, lunch meats, alcohol, like excess alcohol intake, processed foods like a lot of the prepackaged foods that have a lot of additives in it. If you're eating very heavy full fat dairy, like nonstop, fried foods, like fried chicken, things like that, french fries, even sometimes the oil that it's like fried in. Again, I don't want to focus on removing things or like restricting yourself too much, but just to show you like the difference between inflammatory and inflammatory foods. So eating whole foods, prioritizing foods that your body like naturally recognizes and can process efficiently, can help bring down some of the symptoms and effects of inflammation, which can also come from things like lack of sleep or really stressful situations. It's not always from eating foods that are inflammatory per se, but you can use food to heal. That's the point of this pillar that I really wanted to focus on. The fact that hydration in general, having electrolyte-rich hydration can help support the anti-inflammatory process. You know, eating protein and healthy fats, even if you're having 30 to 40 grams of protein in per day, like per window, that can really help when it comes to maintaining blood sugar balance and your gut health. And blood sugar balance is something that affects inflammation, so we can learn about that in the other episode as well. Having fiber, which we were talking about, the prebiotics before meals, can help with breaking down meals a lot slower and helping your digestive process, which helps with blood sugar balance, which in turn helps with inflammation. It's just interesting. I just wanted to tie in that everything that we were talking about in those main five pillars, they do help when it comes to bringing down overall inflammation and stress in the body, which is just so cool. So focusing on eating whole foods, focusing on the hydration, your protein, prioritizing different available foods for you are really going to help you out with that. And that just about wraps up our deep dive into the seven pillars of nutrition. So I hope you found this information as fascinating as I do. Kind of walk away knowing that our bodies are like incredible in a way. They're like incredible machines, you know. Understanding how they work can be very empowering and very exciting. And I hope you can take that away from this episode. I have a little challenge for you this week. Maybe pick just one of the pillars that resonated with you the most and experiment with it. Maybe that's exploring adding some fermented foods into your diet, or perhaps you're more curious about optimizing your hydration. So there's no need to overwhelm yourself by trying everything all at once. This is just a journey, and I wanted to share things that I think are very important that affect us overall. If any particular topic caught your attention and you'd like to learn more about it, or if you have questions about implementing these strategies, I would love to hear from you. You can reach me on Instagram at @happyholistichippie. I also regularly share additional tips and recipes and insights there as well. So if you want to check out and follow, let me know if you like the episode. But yeah, thank you so much for joining me today. Until next time, remember that taking care of your body should be something that's fun. It's more like an adventure, not a burden, okay? So have fun exploring these concepts, and I'll catch you in the next episode.